Today we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy. We've covered Genesis through Numbers. Somebody tell me, what is the theme of Genesis? Beginnings. Exodus. Somebody, theme? Redemption. Deliverance. Okay. Well, it's actually redemption. Numbers? No, I forgot. Leviticus. Leviticus is holiness. And then Numbers? Wandering in the wilderness, yes. What we want to do, the objective in teaching an overview of the Old Testament is that by the end, by the time we're done, you will know every theme of the Old Testament. So, if I come up to you and I say, if I ask you what is the theme of this, see if you can remember. And by the time we're done with the Old Testament overview, I'll have some candies for whoever can give me every theme. Sound good? All right. Today we're going to be talking about the book of Deuteronomy. So if you would open up to Deuteronomy, we're actually going to start in Numbers, though. Just the end of Numbers, or I guess the middle of Numbers. Before we do, though, let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll dive into the Word. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we thank you for the chance we have to open your Word and study the book of Deuteronomy. Lord, I just pray that you'd be glorified during our time that we have to just talk about the book of Deuteronomy. Lord, I pray that I speak with clarity. Lord, I pray to have open hearts and open minds to receive what you want us to learn. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, we're starting in Numbers 14. Numbers 14, verse 20. We're just going to start there just so we get a little background of what's going to be happening in the book of Deuteronomy. Numbers 14, starting in verse 20. In verse 20 it says, "So the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word." Now this is talking about the first generation, like when they're wandering in the wilderness. The Lord says, I have pardoned them according to your word, but indeed as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it." So we know from the end of Numbers, we know that the first generation, God tells them because they've tested him 10 times, they've disobeyed, They're not gonna see the land. They're not gonna go to the promised land. So Deuteronomy, on your outline, Deuteronomy, we have the author is Moses. This is the fifth book called the Pentateuch. The theme of Deuteronomy is gonna be the second law, second law, renewed covenant is really what the theme is of Exodus. I'm going to read a quote to you from Wilkinson and Boa, and he says, quote, "Deuteronomy is the record of the renewal of the old covenant given out at Mount Sinai. This covenant is reviewed, expanded, enlarged, and finally ratified in the plains of Moab." So what happens is you've got Numbers, where the first generation, they're wandering in the wilderness, and then they disobey, and then they're told that they're not going to see the land, they're not going to inherit the land, and that Deuteronomy is the renewal of the second covenant. And so what's going to happen in Deuteronomy, the second generation, they're going to be given, really it breaks down into 3 sections. On your outline you have the first little dot, what God has done. And that's going to be chapters 1 through 4. The second blank is going to be, that's going to be the past. So the first chapters 1 through 4 is going to talk about the past. What's happened? What's happened to the first generation? What have they done? And then secondly, what God expects. That's going to be present. And that's chapters 5 through 26. And then the third dot, what God will do. And that's going to be the future. And then at the top of your outline, well, actually, it's in the middle of your outline, it says, Moses gives the people three motivations in order to enter the promised land. He's going to tell the people three things that ought to motivate them, three things that they should either do or a thing that they should not do. In chapters 1 through 4, you're going to see the first one, which is don't follow first generation example. The first four chapters really summarize what happened with the past generation. And that the past generation, we're talking about that, that's their parents. That's their parents. And that's going to be since the Exodus. When God brought Moses up and said, hey, Moses, you're going to lead the people out of Egypt, lead them out of slavery, and lead them in the direction of the promised land. And then they encounter these things that go on. And so really the first four chapters of Deuteronomy really deals with what's happened in the past. Now, from Exodus through Numbers, what are some things that the people have done? What things have they done in way of obedience or in way of disobedience? Hannah?
They complained.
They complained, okay. What else? What else did they do? Michael?
They made a golden calf.
They made a golden calf. Any other things you can think of? Alistair? Tried to go into Canaan before God told them to, yeah? Hunter?
Tabernacle,
yeah. They were, the first generation obviously did things that were not honoring to God. And so if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 22. We're going to see, in the first chapter, we're going to see one thing or a couple of things that Moses says. He tells the second generation, he says, hey, this is what the first generation did. You need to be motivated to not follow their example. Don't do what they did. In verse 22, it says, then all of you approached me and said, let us send men before us, that they may search out the land for us and bring back to us word of the way by which we should go up and the cities which we shall enter. The thing pleased me, and I took 12 of your men, one man for each tribe. They turned and went up into the hill country, and came to the valley of Ishkol and spied it out. Then they took some of their fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought us back a report and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God is about to give us. Yet you were not willing to go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you grumbled in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of the Amorites there. Then I said to you, do not be shocked nor fear them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as a man carries his son, in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. But for all this, you did not trust the Lord your God, who goes before you on your way, to seek out a place for you to encamp, in fire by night and cloud by day, to show you the way in which you should go. So basically, right there, Moses is telling the second generation, he's telling them one of the things that the first generation did. When the spies, so what happened? 12 spies were sent out to go check out the land, see what was going on. When they came back, they told the people, the first generation, that the cities are large and the people are big. And they said, don't go. 10 of the spies were telling the nation that they could not enter the land because the people are big and they're going to wipe them out. They were afraid. But then on the other hand, 2 of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, told them that we can enter the land because the Lord will protect us. The nation responded by choosing to disobey. They listened to the 10 who said, hey, they're strong, they're mightier than we are, they're tall people, they're going to obliterate us. And the nation disobeyed. The title of today's lesson is Choose to Obey. Choose to Obey. The first generation, obviously, they chose to disobey. They chose to disobey. So then in Deuteronomy chapter 4, next you'll see Moses tells the new generation what they need to do. And this is really, this isn't your second point on your outline. This is just, this still is under the point one. We're going to see that Moses tells the new, he tells the new generation to obey in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform, so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal-peor, for all the men who followed Baal-peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. But you who held fast the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you." So here we see Moses is telling, he tells the second generation, he tells them two things that they've got to do. The first thing he says in verse 1, he says, you have to listen to the statutes and judgments. Basically, in other words, what that is you need to listen to the commandments. You need to listen to the commands of God. You need to listen to what God calls you to do. And then what? Then he says in verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I'm commanding you or subtract from it. So he's saying, don't add to or subtract from the word. Don't add to my commands. Don't make them be what you want them to be. And so right now, Moses has told him, he said, hey guys, this is what you need to do. If you want to enter the promised land, this is what you're going to have to follow. You're going to have to obey my statutes, God's statutes, and you can't add to or subtract from the word. And then Moses, at the end of that, in verse 3, your eyes have seen what the Lord has done. When he's saying that there, he's saying, you've seen what's happened to the first generation. The first generation was wiped out. But you were not wiped out. And why weren't they wiped out? Why wasn't the second generation wiped out? It says it in verse 4. Anybody? Josh? They held fast. They held fast to the Lord their God. That's why they're still here. That's why they're still here. Next, we're going to see Moses now shifts gears and now tells the second generation what they need to do. And this will bring us to our second point on your outline. They need to be motivated to follow instruction. If they want to inherit the promised land, you're going to see that they've got to follow instruction. They've got to follow God's commands. The first thing that we're going to talk about, that we see in these chapters, chapter 5 through 26, we really see, and you can just write this under the second point, you see God's law. Again, Wilkinson and Boa, they say, the testimonies, which they're referring to God's law, the testimonies, expansion of the Ten Commandments, plus an exhortation not to forget God's gracious deliverance. That's in chapters 5 through 11. So the first thing we're going to talk about is God's law. What does God specifically command them to do? In Deuteronomy chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1, it says, then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. So the first thing that they are told, the first thing that they're told they need to do is that they need to learn and observe the statutes of God. They need to be willing to do this. And then as you move down in chapter 5, you come to verse 7. And really verses 7 through 21, or 7 through 22, it talks about what else they need to do. In verse 7, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven, above or on earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Okay, hold on. What's being told? What is he saying? He's saying there's these things he's got to follow. What are those things that he's referring to? What else do we hear somewhere else?
Ten Commandments.
He's reminding them, he's telling the second generation, you need to follow the Ten Commandments. We did a study on the Ten Commandments. Everybody look up at me. Don't look at your Bible. What was the first command? You shall have no other gods before me. Second command, Stafford?
Do not make a false
god. Do not make idols. Don't make a false god. Third? Michael, you got it?
Don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Fourth? Keep the Sabbath holy. Fifth? Honor your father and mother. Sixth? Steal or murder? Okay. Seven? Okay. Eight? Do not steal. Nine? Do not lie. Ten? Do not covet. Good. I'm impressed. You guys did good. Moses is telling them, Moses is talking to the second generation. He's telling them, hey, you need to follow these commands. We're not going to spend any time on that because you guys already know everything about them you can know. No, not really. We already have talked about them. We know what the Ten Commandments are. We know how they apply to them back then. But that's, Moses tells them, he says, hey, you need to follow the Ten Commandments. You need to do what these Ten Commandments tell you. Don't make false idols. Focus on me. Focus on who I am. Don't put anything in front of me. And then in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Gershites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. Verse 2, and when the Lord your God delivers them before you, and you defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. So what does Moses tell them they must not do? Two things there. Two things they must not do. Hayden. Make covenants with those seven other people. The Gershites, the Canaanites, those people. What's the second thing he says? Wendell. Do not intermarry. And they say, what's going to happen if you intermarry? What did he say is going to happen? Blah, 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 blah. They will be turned away. They're going to turn their sons away to what? False gods. To serve things other than the one holy, true God. So God tells them specifically, hey, don't make covenants with other nations. And secondly, don't intermarry. Don't let your sons or daughters intermarry. And then chapter 11, verse 1. Verse 1, he says, you shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments. So he tells them right there, you need to love God. And then if you love God, you're going to do these things. Wow. Moses is telling them they got a big responsibility, right? To follow all these different commands. You know what? It goes on more. We've just talked a little bit about God's law. And now we're going to move on to talk about the second thing that we really see in Deuteronomy. We see the ceremonial laws. Wilkerson and Boa, they sum it up. They say, quote, the statutes, which they're referring to as the ceremonial laws, the ceremonial duties, sacrifices, tithes, and feasts. So basically now what's going to happen is Moses is going to give the second generation instruction on what they need to do with their duties, their sacrifices, with their tithes, and with their feasts. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, we learn that Moses is giving them instruction about the sanctuary. We don't have time to go into it, but he gives them instruction about the sanctuary. You can just jot these down and look at them later if you want to. And then in chapter 13, verse 1, it says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So we see here that Moses gives them specific direction and says, hey, shun idolatry. Don't listen to a dreamer. If somebody comes to you and says, hey, this is all this stuff about a dream, don't listen to them. Listen to God. Listen to what God tells you. And then in chapter 14, we really aren't going to talk too much about these. In chapter 14, really the whole chapter, verses 3 through 21, talks about the clean and unclean animals and what they can and can't do. And then in chapter 16, he talks about the Passover, the different feasts, just what God requires at these different ceremonial events. And then we move into the third section of these chapters. And this is going to be the civil laws. Again, Wilkinson and Boa quote, they refer to this as the ordinances. They say it's the civil and social duties, the system of justice, criminal laws, laws of warfare, rules of property, personal and family morality, and social justice. So here in chapter 16, verse 18 through chapter 26, we really see these laws, what Moses tells them about the civil laws. In chapter 16, I'm just giving you some information. You can write these down if you want. But he tells them in chapter 16, you need to appoint judges. In chapter 17, again, he gives another law. He tells them what they need to do. In chapter 17, verse 1, we'll go ahead and read this one. It says, you shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God an ox or a sheep which has a blemish or any defect, for that is a detestable thing to the Lord your God. If there is found in your midst, in any of your towns which the Lord your God has given you, a man or a woman who does what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God by transgressing his covenant, and has gone and served other gods and worshipped them, or the sun or the moon or any of the heavenly hosts, which I have not commanded. And if it is told you, and you have heard of it, then you shall inquire thoroughly. Behold, if it is true, and the thing certain, that the detestable thing has been done in Israel, then you shall bring out the man or that woman who has done this evil deed to your gates, that is, the man or woman, and you shall stone them to death. On the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses, he who is to die shall be put to death. He shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness. The hand of the witness shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. There's another law that's given to the second generation, and they say if there's somebody, a man or a woman, in your midst, and they go and they turn and they worship false gods, what do you need to do? You need to go and stone them. Kill them. That was the punishment if they turn and don't follow the one true God. They give several more laws. And as I encourage you to get those read-throughs that are going to be on Judges and so forth. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Got my books out of order. I encourage you to get those and read Deuteronomy and really focus on how the book of Deuteronomy breaks down, because it's so interesting as you look at that. In chapter 24, there's the law of divorce. We won't look at it. I just wanted to point that out to you. It is obvious as to what the second generation needs to do, right? It's not hard for them to figure it out. Moses gave them specific direction and says, hey, this is what God requires of you. This is what you need to do if you're going to inherit the promised land. We have seen what has happened in the past with the old generation, how they did not follow the Lord, how they complained, how they grumbled. And then we see how they were told they wouldn't inherit, they wouldn't see the promised land, and they were destroyed. Also, we've seen what is expected of the second generation. The laws that God puts in place establishes and says, hey, second generation, this is what you need to do. You need to follow these laws. Now we're going to talk about what is going to happen in the future, which should bring you to your last point on your outline, which is Moses motivates them by the promise of a future blessing. We see, everybody turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is where Moses now tells the second generation what is going to happen if they choose to obey. 28, starting in verse 1. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns, and in all that you put your hand to do. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but shall not borrow. And then if you continue on, you will continue to see, the Lord tells Him, He says, hey, addressing the second generation, He says, hey, if you will obey, if you will follow these commands, then you're going to be blessed. These are the things that are going to happen to you. But then, of course, Moses is going to tell them, if you don't choose to obey, if you choose to disobey, if you reject the Lord your God, what's going to happen? In 28:15 through 68, it really talks about what's going to happen. And he talks about the curses that will come upon you. Verse 16, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. And list all these things are going to be bad news for the second generation if you choose to disobey the laws, if you choose to reject God. And so really, the nation of Israel, the second generation, has a choice to make. They can either choose to obey God and follow His commands, or what? They can choose to disobey. And then all of these curses will come upon them. And then really in chapter 30, it gives it's the restoration promise. As you read through that, and we don't have time to go through it right now, but what it talks about, it's telling them, if you will follow me, if you will follow the Lord your God and follow these laws, then what? Then you're going to be blessed. Then you're going to go and you're going to inherit the promised land. But if you reject me, then you're not going to see the land which I have promised. Now, at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses passes away. He dies. That'd be the end of the story. Moses passes away, he dies, and then Joshua is brought up, and Joshua will be the one and who's going to be leading them from here. And you'll learn more about we'll learn more about that next week. In chapter 31, verse 14, we see what the nation of Israel is going to do. The second generation in verse 14, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, the time for you to die is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting, that I may commission him.' So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. The Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood at the doorway of the tent. The Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will arise and play the harlot with the strange gods of the land into the midst of which they are going, and will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be consumed, and many evils and troubles will come upon them, so they will say in that day, Is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us? But I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they will do, for they will turn to other gods.'" So Moses is going to die. The second generation is going to struggle. The second generation is going to turn and follow false gods, do things that are not honoring to the Lord. And then in verse 23, then he commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you." And so next week we'll talk about the book of Joshua, and we'll really see what Joshua does and how he begins to lead the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. Like I said earlier, the nation of Israel, the second generation, had a choice to make. They could either choose to obey or they could choose to disobey. The ball was in their court. All the information was presented. Moses told them, said, "Hey, this is what God requires. These are the laws that you need to follow. This is what your forefathers did, or this is what your parents did. They didn't do this. They complained. They disobeyed. They were wiped out. You guys are still here because you held fast to God, and I want you to follow these laws." And so now, in essence, what happens is the ball has been thrown in their court, and they have to make the decision what they're going to do. Are they going to choose to obey, or are they going to choose to disobey? The application for you and I, though, is pretty simple. But for you and I today, the question is, are you going to obey, or are you going to disobey? Pretty simple application. You know what? The nation of Israel, we're just like the nation of Israel. We have God's word. We're told what we need to do. There's the laws in there. We need to follow those. So in essence, the ball's in your court. The ball's in my court. We got to make the decision. Are we going to obey God, or are we going to disobey God? So for this week, I think everybody got it already, but it's choose to obey. Choose to obey. All right? I challenge you with that. I challenge you to, as we go today, don't let this just slip out of your mind. Choose to obey. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we had to study your word. Lord, as we learn about Deuteronomy, what's presented in the book of Deuteronomy, Lord, is they were given the option. They had to decide, are they going to choose to obey, or are they going to choose to disobey, Lord? In the same way, as we sit here this morning, we have the same decision to make. Are we going to choose to obey you, Father, or are we going to choose to obey? I pray that we wouldn't let this just go in one ear and out the other, Lord, but we'd go from here and we'd put it into practice, Lord. We ask that today as we prepare to go to church, Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified. I pray we continue to learn about your word. Lord, just bless your time together. In Christ's name we pray, amen.